being in Congress enabled me to see things, learn things, go places, meet people I would never have done otherwise. And I'm very proud and honored to have served for two terms.
So what was the biggest pain involved in being a congressman?
Raising money.
It was.
It's easy. And it's even worse now because when I lost the election in 2010, which is the only election I lost out of six that I ran in, the others being county legislature and school board. So I went 5 for 6, which is not a bad average. But starting in 2010, it was the first election after the Citizens United Supreme Court decision. So in the last 2 weeks, I got creamed with like $5 million of out-of-district, out-of-state money from dark sources that were not disclosed. And so, that is only worse today by a couple orders of magnitude. So I don't know. It was hard enough for me to raise money the first time around in 2006. I was told you got to raise at least $1 million, and then it was, they said, well, it'd be better if you had $2 million. You know,
and how do you
do
it?
You've got to be kidding.
And how do you do it?
I started by calling my family and calling my friends, my brothers, my cousins.
Were they rich?
You know, no, but the suggestion that I was given is that if you can't convince them that you're the best person for that particular job, you'll never convince anybody else. So you start kind of practice your pitch on people who are close to you, and you go through your, what at the time was a Rolodex or a phone book, you know, and your contacts, and you call everybody, and then you start looking to other people to give you pages and pages of other contacts.
And you just spend your time on the phone.
Yeah, and in my case, I actually had a lot of help from my musician friends who did fundraisers for my campaigns. Bonnie Raitt was so generous and did probably half a dozen events for me. David Crosby and Graham Nash did a couple, one of them, a house party, was really fun and you know, very financially helpful. Jackson Brown did a number of events. Nancy Griffith, John Sebastian, David Sanchez, and Jack DeJohnette, and I don't know. We did events with at a Bruce Springsteen concert where we had a reception that Steve Van Zandt came into and had his photograph taken with every one of the 50 people who had paid to come into the reception and talk with everybody and sign things. And, you know, all of my friends from the musical world were so generous, and I really owe them a debt of gratitude because I could not have raised that kind of money. I don't have Exxon and Mobil, but as I like to joke, I have Jackson and Bonnie.
That's funny. Of course, we are talking with John Hall. John, I guess I want to go back and start at the beginning. We know you had your first music lessons when you were very, very young. 5 years
old? As all children should have. When I was on the school board in Saugerties, when I was president of the board, I read a couple of studies that said all kindergartners should have piano lessons because it teaches them fractions. Because it's if middle C is zero, it's a power of, a power of, a power of going to the right in the positive sense, being an octave, another octave.
Sure.
And to the left, it's the negative power of, power of, power of. And when you're looking at a sheet music page, you're looking at a graph of time versus pitch, and it's all 64th notes or 32nd notes or quarter notes or whole notes. And so the kid's learning math. You know, the kid is thinking, jingle all the way, when really it's like 1-3, 1-2-3 in terms of, you know, pitch numbers in the 12-tone scale or the 8-tone scale.
So tell me about your parents. Who were they?
My parents?
Yeah.
My dad was a electrical engineer, PhD, and also a physics and general science and math whiz. His dad was dean of engineering at Brown University. He became the dean of engineering at University of Rhode Island.
And that's where you were raised?
No, I was raised in Elmira, New York, where he worked for Westinghouse. Uh-huh. Most of his adult life, he worked for Westinghouse, and he would only go to academia when he got tired of the personality fights and the hiring and firing problems and little bits of infighting at Westinghouse, and he would think, if I go back to the university, it'll be all pure as the driven snow.
Yeah, well, we all know about that.
You get there and find out, he always found out it was just as bad there. And his dreams of doing research all the time were overturned. And so he would eventually go back to Westinghouse, or Big W, as they called it.
I once got into a fist fight at New Paltz with a colleague at a faculty meeting.
Oh, that's almost like Congress. Back when I was remembering, I was talking to somebody about, is it more rough and tumble nowadays than it was? And I think it's a lot less disrespectful than it was. When I was growing up, I was taught to respect the office of the presidency or the senator or the congress member or whatever. Even if you disagree with their policies, argue with that, but don't make it personal, you know. And maybe that's an antiquated approach now. But I have to remember that Aaron Burr died in a duel on the House
indeed,
floor. You know?
Indeed.
So
indeed.
Things...
And the Weehawken complained.
Things have been banned.
So John Hall, let me go back to your question about your parents. Your mother?
My mom was a school teacher and a very devout Catholic who we all, my two brothers and I grew up Catholic. And she, after the kids were grown up and out of the home, she was the first woman to attend and graduate from a Jesuit seminary in the United States.
Wow.
And got her master's in divinity and a diploma at graduation when all of her male classmates got Roman collars. So she got a dose of, feminism at the same time and sexual identity politics. It's interesting. They hired her back at the same seminary to teach how to preach the gospel to young men who were coming through after her, but she was never able to preach the gospel herself in the church. But she wanted
that leave you burned to this day.
That's one of the things that left me burned. But okay. But she wanted all three of her sons to be priests, and my father wanted all three of his sons to be scientists. And so my older brother was an actuary, probability specialist, and my younger brother was a priest, Jesuit priest, who lived for a time in Rome and taught at Gregorian University there, and as well as at Georgetown and Lemoyne and other Jesuit schools in the United States. And I fell in between. I was the apple that fell somewhere between the trees. And
why? You weren't any part priest, were you?
No, but I was always told that my songs are too preachy. Not Still the One, not
funny.
Dance With Me, but okay. if you read through the albums, you'll see songs like It All Comes Back Again from the first album, which has, the last verse is, well, there's a man in a White House selling everyone a used car, and he plays with his prophets, P-H-E-T-S, and dreams that he's a football star, but the dreams rain down fire on the little plastic men, and if you think it doesn't hurt you, you had better think again.
How do you write? I mean, when you write a song like that, do you write with one hand on the steering wheel and one hand on...
I've done that, yeah. Writing on the passenger seat with a pad and a pen and trying to stay in my lane. But I don't advise that. I advise pulling off the road, stopping the car, and then writing, and then driving some more.
But you don't write on formulaic in your pajamas at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I have done... writing well, a lot of the early songs that, like It All Comes Back Again and Dance With Me and Still the One, that early Orleans records, I was writing with my ex-wife Johanna Hall, who, she and I wrote all kinds of ways. Sometimes staying up all night and writing. Later, I learned to write when I was living in Nashville, or commuting to Nashville. I learned to write on appointment.